I am privileged and honored to have in studio with me this morning someone I've been trying to get for a few weeks, but I know that you had a bit of a flu a week or two ago. We have Bruno Scioso, the director of corporate communications for the National Police Service. Welcome to Capital FM.
Thank you, my brother. Happy to be here.
Very well dressed. so let me ask you a question before we take off here. Are you actually a police? Are you a cop?
Yeah, I'm a cop.
Right. Okay.
For the longest time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, obviously, as director of corporate communications.
Yeah, I am the director of corporate communication, at the same time the police spokesperson.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And it's really nice that you managed to come in. And thank you so much again for joining us this morning. We are entering a time in the country where every time you open a social media page, you're seeing insecurity. You're seeing things happening, cars being robbed, people being robbed outside their gates. There was the issue about 3 weeks ago of the lady at her gate in Rongai. And there's a general sense of fear and anxiety amongst us, especially now with 33 days to go until the general election. I think what Kenyans would really like to know are we experiencing a spike in incidents, or is it just that they're being exposed more because of social media?
Yeah, I go for the latter. It's more social media. There's actually nothing out of the ordinary. It's just more criminality. Once in a while, it spikes up, I mean, it goes down. But the most important thing is that we have the law enforcers. We're there, and we keep tabs over that. So whatever happens, I mean, when nothing's happening, it doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It means so much is happening from our point of view.
Correct.
As law enforcers.
Right.
Because we have to work with the communities. We're always there, 24/7. And when we're working, nothing happens. We suppress it.
Right.
So the intentions are there, but they're only manifest.
Correct.
But at times, I mean, because like now we're so busy, there are so many other issues. We just spread so thin, I mean, on the ground. So some groups maybe might take advantage, and then it appears like there's a spike. But then again, we should reorg and move in.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess in your world as the police force, the National Police Service, it is quite difficult because when you're doing your job optimally, we don't really hear of anything. But no one comes and says, hey, the cops are doing a great job. We only criticize when we see the things that are happening on the ground.
Yeah, quite true. Especially when you do like police studies, there's something called measurement of crime. And it's a very tricky thing, I mean, dicey for us in law enforcement, because people will, I mean, try to measure our performance in terms of the numbers. Yeah? How many arrests have you made? And that's based now on the expects in crimes. That's what they see. But then what they don't see, they can't measure that. And that's where we do most of our work, because police work is divided into two. There's what you call crime prevention and law enforcement.
Right.
So actually, most of the police work should be in the crime prevention, the proactive part of it. You know what I'm saying? Where we are really there, immersed in the communities, working with the people, picking out the issues that, I mean, condemn them, and working with them in real time. So people don't see that.
Right.
Then they take it for granted, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but then maybe when something comes up, like that's what they see, and then there's not too much pressure on police. I've made the arrest, blah, 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 blah. So I agree with you. I mean, very correct assessment, as you put it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we live in a, you know, what if you look at all the global and Africa-wide studies, they say Nairobi's a dangerous city. Where do we compare in comparison to the rest of the continent? Because I think, like most of the listeners who are tuned in this morning, we just see these ups and downs all the time, right? There's times when we don't hear of anything, and then there's always, you know, one follows another. But where do we compare? Are we a safe city in Nairobi?
Farid, that's a great question, Farid. I mean, you ask yourself some basic questions. Why do visitors love Kenya and Nairobi, for that matter? We have a UN office here. It's really busy. Actually, it's just among the four global, UN presidents around the whole world. Yeah? Do you hear them complain? No. Just generally, like, even within Africa, even from Europe and other parts of the world, people love Kenya just to visit. A few guys who come here, they don't want to go back home. They want to have property in Kenya.
It's so true.
It's very true.
It's very true.
And then I'm sure you've traveled. When you travel to other countries, then that's when you get that sense how safe Kenya is and how safe Nairobi in particular is.
Right.
Where anybody, I mean, you just walk anywhere. You go to other countries, other cities. You are clear, I mean, advice right from the airport or even before you go.
Mm.
The do's and the don'ts. It didn't happen in Kenya. Kenya, everybody come here, and most of the guests who come like within Africa, foreigners, they don't live. A few of them engage in crime. You push them out, and next flight they're coming back.
Right.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, the short of it is that Nairobi is very safe. But of course, as any other urban center, there must be those challenges. And they are linked to not just issues of crime per se, but I mean, they're linked to other issues of socioeconomic issues. Young populations coming out without jobs and stuff like that, they take advantage of other issues. So it's normal issues and issues we deal with in real time.
Right.
We manage. So there's nothing out of, I mean, out of the ordinary. Let me give you an example. I briefly worked in the, I mean, with the UN, but in an office where I was sitting with other global law enforcers. And now we're sharing, benchmarking and stuff. A friend of mine from, I love so much Brazil, a cop, senior guy, tells me, back home, he can't just go, like, even for holiday. I'll just get a plane right now, go to Mombasa, and have fun, and come back. There are places they can't go to. He has to know exactly where he's going to, because, I mean, it's, like, controlled by mafia or criminality.
Right.
Not in Kenya. In Kenya, there'll be some small groups, like what's happening in Nakuru. We move in, we hit them on the head, and it's done.
Right.
It's sorted out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as we talk, and we'll talk more about this as well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, obviously, there is always the issue that is underlying the police force, which is the corruption within the police force. Also, do you have the support you require from the government in terms of the police force to keep our streets and counties and cities and country safe? And then again, we'll come back and talk a little bit about what is in place for, obviously, the big day of August 9th. If you have any questions, you can get them in now on Twitter at 984 in the morning, hashtag drive in. Send us a WhatsApp as we speak to Bruno Scioso, the Director of Corporate Communications from the National Police Service. We'd love to hear from you this morning at 18 minutes to 8. Capital FM. In studio with us, the Director of Corporate Communications and spokesperson for the National Police Service, Bruno Scioso. Bruno, it is an absolute... I don't know whether I should call you sir. I don't know.
Buddy.
Buddy. All right. What a friendly face for the police you have. We've seen it over the course of the last few years. There is the desire to humanize, if you will, and soften the look of the police service as friends, as citizens like us, as residents like us, and not people that we're fighting, unless we're criminals, obviously. But there has been, obviously, in the course of the last 4 or 5 years, so many cases of what have been called extrajudicial killings or you know, young boys and young girls, and the police, the finger being pointed at the police. This has to be a very difficult part of your job, having to address these issues when you have parents crying out and communities crying out that these young people were killed at the hands of the police.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's a very difficult part of our work. But again, it pains us, just for what you rightly said initially, that we should be friends of the people. Actually, we are part of the people. We are part of the communities. We're just a representation of the people. Yeah? So what this means is we have to work very closely with the people. We have to have their back. Yeah, and they should have our back, you know, being like same people. So by its nature and mandate, even just the naming law enforcers, we are officers of the law.
Right.
Yeah. And whatever we do, we should be within the premise of the constitutionalism, rule of law, and in the interest of the larger public. That's basically what it stands for. That's our mission. So we should be there for the good guys against the bad guys. But it should not be us visiting, crime against the people.
Right.
So when we hear these claims coming up that police are involved in extrajudicial killings, it really, really pains us because it goes against what we stand for and what we are and we should be.
You right.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
And I want Kenyans to get me very clear, on that. It's true that we have instances where we people maybe lose their lives in some bizarre way, ways, which maybe is not well understood and well explained. But then the problem is whenever it happens, people are very quick to point the finger.
Sure.
At the police.
And they always will.
Yeah, they always. They just because maybe they'll say, okay, ask them, why did you say that? They say, oh, there was somebody with a firearm. Oh, somebody had a police uniform. Just that, you know. Or there's a vehicle. They'll tell you, I mean, this person was picked by a vehicle. It's a Subaru.
Yeah.
Just because cops drive Subarus. But they forget that criminals are very smart people.
Sure.
Yes.
And also, I mean, I guess you can look at it as well. Extrajudicial killings, mistakes will happen in any industry. Even here in radio, mistakes will happen. Police will make mistakes. We see it in the U.S. all the time now, right? I mean, young black men getting killed.
I was going to that.
Yeah.
So first of all, just trying to say first, when it happens, we're not saying that it's police or not the police. It might be anybody who's a Kenyan. Because I began by saying that you are part of the people.
Right.
You might have the bad apples within us. But the issue is, let's say he's a police officer, and then you follow the due process and do investigations first of all and establish who is behind this. We're never given this opportunity. First of all, just being condemned and heard, and then that's it. People running that narrative. So what I'm saying is that if he's a police officer, we have mechanisms. Once you investigate and you find he's a police officer, there's nothing we hide. We treat him as any other rogue, any other criminal,
right?
Any other bad person. We investigate, arrest, take to the DPP to charge in court.
The old days, they used to say when a cop made a mistake, they were repositioned somewhere else, right? That was the old joke. But now it's very different, right?
Very different. I mean, last week or 2 weeks ago, you know what happened? I mean, in Kisi.
Yeah.
I mean, a rally, a political rally with the VIPs, I mean, over there addressing the people. And then somebody, throws a tear gas. We investigated, find one of us. We've taken him to court.
Okay.
We are as open as that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So if a police officer is involved in extrajudicial killing, it's a crime. And it's our duty to arrest, investigate, arrest, and take to court through the DPP. That's a due process.
Right. And like any other citizen who commits a crime.
We shouldn't just stand condemned for what we haven't done, and we can't be given the chance of being heard, and then that's the truth.
All right.
That's what we can't accept.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understood. And again, you know, the issue of corruption within the police force. Before you answer that question, when you look at the police force and, you know, the needs of an entire, you know, well, let's call it an industry, the police having to keep a country safe, do you get the support you need from the government, and is there always an ongoing dialogue with the government saying that we need A, B, C, and D to fully, because you know, it's like if I came into the studio today and these three machines don't work, I don't have the tools I need to do my job optimally. So do you have what you need as police, or is there always more you need to make sure that we can one day be looked at as one of the safest parts of the world, at least for Africa?
Yeah, I'll tell you without any fear of God, Richard, that I mean, first of all, we can never have enough. Nobody will ever have. Even the US. They always talk about resources, we need this and that. But then the government, as it is right now, has gone out of its way to support the police. Actually, there's so much investments, abnormally high investment in the police.
Right.
Whatever we ask for, the government will do whatever it takes to make sure that we are resourced. So yes, we are well resourced. We are not yet there, because we can't have anything we want.
No, it's like you said, it's never going to be enough,
yeah,
right?
We want to have maybe like 10 choppers or 20 choppers.
Right.
But the government can say, okay, you guys have 3 or 4. But they're trying. We are in that phase of reforms. And these reforms, again, came with a very huge outlay of resources to support the reform. So, again, we have taken advantage over that we're doing very well. There's nothing Kenya should fear about. In all aspects of resourcing, we are very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And perhaps a final question for you. I know we can't keep you for too long, Bruno, or my buddy, Bruno, that's it.
Yeah.
I have your card now. I'll be calling you.
Yeah.
We're going into a very strange period. Every 5 years it happens. We know we all have open wounds from 2007, 2008, emotional wounds. Mental health is a big thing. Many of us still dealing with the trauma of that period. We didn't have too many issues last election period, but there's a big fear in this one as well, that we could end up like 2007 or 2008. What has been put in place by the government and the police force, National Police Service, I should say, to ensure that we are safe, that we can go to the polling stations, excuse me, on the morning of the 9th, make our vote, get home safely, and hopefully within a week we transition into a new government?
Yeah, all I can't go into the details and specifics.
Sure.
But all I can do is to assure Kenyans that we knew, we've known all along that we should have an election. It's a cycle, 5-year cycle. Our planning didn't just begin today or yesterday. It began with the last elections.
Right.
Yeah. Learning the best lessons from the past elections, what we did wrong, what did you get right, and then how do we build on it going forward. We've walked through that journey. We've done so much planning. We've done so much resourcing. We're doing so much training, massive training of officers. It has to be compliant, yeah, within the framework of the elections. We are working closely with all the partners. The government is behind us, supporting us, and whatever we need is there. Yeah. So Kenyans should rest assured. And even from our mappings, ground mappings, is not there should be no reason for fear. We're doing very well comparatively to other elections at this point in time.
Right.
A month to election. It's just some few issues, or I mean, just some rhetorics, but there's no tension. There's no many hot spots. So all is well. Kenya should just do their electioneering, wake up very safely, knowing that they'll be taken. Everything has been taken care of. Go cast their vote and go back home straight.
Right. And it's interesting because we I'm sure you are at optimum capacity during this period as well, especially going up to the election.
Yeah, optimum.
We'll be seeing a lot more of the boys in blue on the roads, I imagine.
All our other supporting agencies are coming in to support us.
Right.
Kenya Prison, NYS, the forest, the wildlife, all.
Right, to keep us safe.
Yeah, to keep Kenyans safe.
Wonderful.
And to secure the election.
Bruno, what we'll do, I know we only have 33 days left. 33 days left until? Yeah, 33 days until the general election. Yeah. So maybe a week before we can have you back for a longer period. And we can have a chat.
I'm available.
Now that we know each other, I have your card.
It's an
absolute pleasure to meet you.
Yeah,
and like I said before, all police should have a friendly face like yours because you're a very warm person.
We're praying. Everybody's praying.
But thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Welcome anytime.
Thank you.
I thank you.